Hello and welcome back to the Hypocritic Podcast. I'm Steven, and joining me today is Trent Miller and Nick Jones, and we are hypocritical critics of movies. We review them every week, a new pick, and we're not real critics, so don't take us literally, take the podcast name literally, Hypocritical Critics. And, you know, we're just coming in here going to give spoiler alerts. We're going to go through some 5 for 5 trivia questions, stats and facts, director and the cast, favorite scenes. We go through everything. And, you know, follow us on the Instagram at hypocritic_podcast. We would really appreciate that. And if you guys could just give us a shout out if you guys are listening. We know people are out there listening and, you know, no one's really engaging. So we want to know who you are. We want you to reach out to us. Send us a comment. Send us a DM. We just want to hear from you.
Steven, that was well said. I don't even have much more to add other than it's good to be here.
George Washington gave a speech over here.
Thank you. Man. Thank you.
That's great.
But we should just probably hop into this week's movie, which was Without a Paddle.
Without a Paddle.
Dax Shepard.
Without a Paddle.
Dax Shepard, Seth Green.
Seth Green. Yes. Got some it's famous a classic people movie. On this.
Let's get into it. Critic Podcast. How you doing, boys?
Doing good.
Living the dream. Another nice
out here.
Monday night pod. Nice little chill Monday pod.
Monday chill night. Monday pod.
What's everyone been up to?
Well, not too much. I'm coming up to this week. We're going to see MGK in Nashville for Courtney's birthday. So we're going to be heading
That's
out there in a couple days. So it'll be like a little nice midweek adventure kind of. Breaks up the monotony nicely. I'm not like a huge MGK fan. I was really big with his rap early in his career. You guys know he came out like
the Wild Boy.
As a rapper.
The Wild Boy.
But you
Trent
know what?
I am a little
concerned because I think I might really, really, really like Nashville. I don't know. I think personally, I might like it a lot.
What do you mean?
To a point to where I think I might.
Why are you concerned?
Ooh, what? That's cool.
Oh. This is interesting. Well, I've never heard of you like gush on Nashville before. Is it just like the music scene or what?
I think it is the music scene. And I think it's just the, cause I love country music. Country music is like really big to me. And I think, and the more I'm like studying Nashville, I'm like, wow, this like city is revolved around this music, which is pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. Like Atlanta, Georgia is country, but Nashville is like the home of the legends.
It's the Mecca. Yeah.
It is the
That's cool, dude.
But what's going on with you, Nick?
No, it's an awesome city. Not a whole lot. I'll touch on my fishing trip here in a moment because Trent was asking about that. But
please do.
I was just going to say Nashville is an awesome city. It's kind of got like some of the big city elements of Atlanta, like having a football team, but it's got like a kind of like a Athens downtown feel with just kind of like a cool strip and stuff, and there's music in every bar that you go to there, so it's cool. And then you can kind of get off of the main strip of Nashville, and there's like also like some alternative rock music and stuff. But
no, and I think that's going to be the best part for me checking it out, because Nick, you got me on Tyler Childers, and I've been listening to a bunch of other artists really similar.
Oh hell yeah, dude!
And I'm like, dude, this city would be like so normal for that. And I told Courtney we've been watching Yellowstone. Check it out, not a plug, but a great cowboy Montana show. And I'm like, when we go to Nashville, we gotta go to some real fucking country legit bar and take a couple shots and just hang out in there for a little bit. But Nick, tell us about that fishing trip, because I saw that was looking nice.
Yeah, Nick, let's hear about that.
Yeah, so my dad, as you guys know, just moved out to Colorado Springs recently, which is like a little bit south of Denver. And so we just kind of planned a camping trip because it's about to hit winter, and like this is a really pretty time of year out here because like the leaves are all yellow and stuff. So we went out to this place like past Vail, Colorado, probably like 30, 40 minutes past Vail. And we just fished there for 2 days. But it was kind of funny, dude. So we did pretty well, and like I got a lot of I got more confidence fly fishing because I was able to catch my like kind of consistently get bites and hookups and like catch more fish doing it. And this river was just awesome. Like every fish was pretty big, and my dad was just slaying them. It wasn't like we were catching like a stupid amount, but it was just really fun. And got to like, you know, hang out with my dad. And like when we're not fishing, we're just like drinking whiskey and like smoking cigars and like bullshitting about stuff. So that's yeah, sweet. It's fun. But I was also going to say, Steven, you would get a kick out of this because my dad, so there's certain like nuances of fly fishing that are kind of like similar to surfing where it's like, this is my spot. Or like you kind of got to know how to approach the situation when there's multiple people on the river. Yeah. So my dad and I were like kind of moving upstream, and he goes up ahead of front of me for a little bit. It was kind of like the last 30 minutes of the second day. Like we were basically done, and he comes back like steaming hot and he's all pissed off. And he's like, that motherfucker up there told me, like, hey bro, are you fishing my run, bro? And my dad like was like, so my dad had walked up to this guy's hole, but my dad was on the other side of the river in a part of the river where this guy couldn't even access. So it wasn't like this guy could even fish this side of the run, like the river run. Yeah. And so he like called my dad out for like being in his spot. And it reminded me of just like being like a surfer kook.
Localism. Like being in somebody's
surfing my break. Yeah.
River localism.
Yeah, my dad was
flashes out tonight.
My dad was so pissed.
On a Colorado river.
That's awesome.
No, yeah. That's crazy.
So yeah, it was a fun trip.
People are super over the top about fishing and stuff, but no, your dad and my dad would love hanging out and fly fishing. And I've been fly fishing with my dad too, and it's so much fun. Just it's just a really hard form of fishing. It's not easy. You have to, you know, what is it called? Mending your line or.
Well, dude, what was so fun about this trip is I finally got to like fight my own fish on a fly rod, and some of these fish that I was reeling in probably took me like 10 minutes. And you have to be like really gentle with them, and you have to let them run when they run, and like the fly rod gives them enough leeway where if they want to run, like they can take off. And sometimes like one of these fish I had to like bring in like 3 times.
Oh, wow.
It's just a really fun, it's a really fun form of fishing, and you like got to like fight them and everything. Well, but I do want to talk about Trent's week.
Real quick.
But
go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, if you're going to continue on your
week, I was just going to say this movie, to segue it to the movie kind of, it was kind of nice to watch it fresh off of a fishing trip, being on the river and,
for sure.
No, them being up in Oregon, but I mean, do want to
honestly,
talk about
I'm not. There's nothing going on. It's a Monday night. I'm building a table. Like we got a dining room table. Like we can honestly move on. There's not much going on here. But that's really sweet about MGK, Steven, and the fishing trip. I was digging the vibes. You were sending pictures, Nick. It looked like a good time. So we definitely wanted to hear about that. But yeah, why don't we get on our segues and hop into this movie?
Let's boogie on into stats and facts.
Let's boogie.
Stats and facts. We talking
stats and facts.
Stats and facts.
We talking stats.
Basketball.
Sorry, I'm flat. I'm so fucking flat.
We're going to keep getting that song stuck in people's head. All right. Dax Shepard, Seth Green, Matthew Lord. Lillard. So, quick synopsis. After their friend dies, three men decide to fulfill their childhood dream by going on a camping expedition for the lost D.B. Cooper bounty. And that's it.
And why don't we just say, like, it might as well be us three out there. I mean, I see these three, and I think us three. And exactly. Who's the fourth guy? I'm trying to think of, that
exactly.
Fourth guy that died.
I'm Dan.
Was I?
Nick is.
Maybe that's Ryan.
No,
I was about to say, am I Dr. Mott back in high school when I was baby Puchagna?
Nick is Dr. Mott. And Trent is the surfer.
I was totally Dr. Mott.
I'm Dax.
CPA doing surfing. Well, yeah, then I'll be the surfer. That's fine. But we all agree that Nick is Dr. Mott, right?
Yeah, for
Steven
sure.
Steven was the guy from Boy Meets World with the machine gun. That was Steven.
Wait. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Those guys were so funny. And we're going to get into those guys, too. But let's hop in with some stats and facts here. 2004, okay. It was PG-13, comedy mystery. Trent?
Christery.
Commystery. You were
commystery.
Commystery, yes. 1 hour, 39 minutes. You know, right perfect in the wheelhouse timing. For a comedy. You know, you don't need any
timing.
More river time mm-hmm. than that. All right. IMDb 5.9 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes 14%. A little low. TV Guide 29% and Google users 82%. Now, okay. I'm going to give you guys the box office.
Google's
which
coming
70,
in hot.
The box office was $73 million, but what do you guys think the budget was?
Not huge. They did go on an international trip, though, I bet, to get some of those scenes. I'm going to go $8 million.
Ooh.
All right. Okay. I'm going...
You salty dog cafe.
I'm going like... 14.
Yeah, it's
19.
Probably 18.
But ooh. I think they...
we were close.
I forget where they filmed, but they did film in another country. I was listening to the Dax Shepard's Armchair Expert podcast. He interviews a bunch of people.
Yes.
There's this one where he interviews Seth Green... And it's funny
I saw that one.
Because listen they like pretty much became really, really good friends on this movie. And it mm-hmm. was kind of like a really big role for Dax. But I guess Seth Green had been acting for a while. He had been in like Austin Powers. He had
he was established by then.
He was established. He had been acting for a really long time, but I think it was New Zealand. They were filming in New Zealand.
Oh, that's what I was just looking up. Yeah, they filmed some of this in New Zealand. That's crazy.
And so apparently,
it did kind of look like the Pacific Northwest.
This whole thing revolves around, you know, these three guys, after their friend dies, they're going to go look for D.B. Cooper. And apparently, D.B. Cooper was the name reporters gave to the man who in 1971 hijacked an airliner, extorted $200,000 from its owner, Northwest Orient, and parachuted off the airborne plane with 21 pounds of $20 bills strapped to his body. He was never caught and is generally assumed that he did not survive the parachute landing.
So is this a real wise tale or like,
yeah.
is this a real fake story?
It's a real story. But it's,
No
one's been able to find the money or someone did find the money and then they just didn't tell anybody because it was like, you know, a lot of money and they're not going to tell people that they found it. They're going to stash it away and, you know, use it. But people are still out there looking for mm-hmm. it. So got me thinking, boys, what are you guys doing next weekend?
Let's hit New Zealand.
Let's quit our jobs, dude. Let's all quit our, you know, decent jobs and say fuck
and
it
say
and go
fuck
on a treasure,
it.
And go on a treasure hunt at the age
of
30 because that
sounds $200,000 and I know there's no inflation because you know it's just $20 bills, but I mean, guys, think about inflated prices. Back then that motherfucker was probably jumping out with a mill. We don't know.
Yeah, 71. and then we can find some bag of bones who just burned all the money for.
And
for
apparently
warmth.
In a
that sounds great.
Apparently in 2016, the FBI officially closed the D.B. Cooper investigation after 45 years.
The Damn. FBI, really?
Oh, yeah, man. It's dude probably just got away with a $200K, and he was still living in Jamaica or the Bahamas or somewhere nice.
I see one here that's kind of weird. It says this movie is the first to qualify for the New Zealand government's large budget grant scheme where filmmakers will receive up to 12.5% of their production budget back. Maybe that's the accountant mm-hmm. in me that wants to get that fact in there, but I thought that was cool.
That's interesting. So it's like Florida with the non-income tax almost, you know, Yeah, there's no income
sort of.
Tax.
Yeah, there's a couple
they got
states
a grant
like that.
For it.
Interesting. So that's the country for you. You get a nice rebate.
And then they shot most of the camping scenes at a very large warehouse.
Yeah, I read that too.
Mm-hmm. I like the thing about the rapid as well, that they actually shot at a class 5 rapid. And it was...
Oh, that's cool.
It was performed by stunt doubles, but... Apparently it was like really dangerous still.
Well, so I heard this, yeah. Like I said, they did this podcast and they were talking about that. And he was like, you kind of have this weird thing where you're like on a movie, you're recording a movie and it's all professional. So you feel, you almost like think you're in Disneyland and this isn't real. But he's like, we were on these crazy rapids and he's like, we did these takes. And there was like, I think there was one point where Seth Green, like, gets like underwater and like comes up like a quarter mile down the river, and there's jet skiers trying to get him and stuff. It is really, really dangerous. But apparently they had this Olympic team do the exact same takes that they were doing, and one of them like went to the ICU with like this big brain, or like he had been hit in the head. And it was like he was like, wow. It was kind of a reality check for them. It's like, oh my God, what we were just doing, you know, this guy just, you know, went to the ICU for it. And it is crazy.
It's super dangerous.
It's funny because there's that one scene where he's like, you don't want to play on the big river, boys. He's like, listen, like, let me tell you, like, I could read a river better than you could read a book. And then you see that one guy's asking him, he's like, well, like, what class are you, like, 4 or 5? It's like, try putting those numbers together. That's right. I shot a class 45, and I've never lost a man. The guy's like, well,
yeah, I was kind of,
don't lie to me.
I was cracking up at that scene.
How they film that stuff. Like, I don't understand. It's probably taken for granted a lot of the case, but I bet that stuff's really hard to film.
Well, I do have more of an appreciation for the movie now, knowing that some of those scenes were like legit and shot. Cause that river was like, no joke, you know? So, I don't know. I think that's cool.
Yeah. And they actually had to like learn how to navigate rivers and stuff like that. But, it is crazy because you're on a river and you're filming, and then like you got to like figure out where you're going from there and do it properly. But it is crazy. A lot of these filmmakers are just trying to get the actual shots just to make it seem really real. And sometimes that means going on a class 5 river and, you know, getting those shots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But what do you boys say? I wax both your asses in 5 for 5, yeah? All right, all right, all right.
5 for 5.
5 for 5. Cinco y cinco.
Cinco y cinco.
Cinco y cinco. All right.
Let's do it, y'all.
For those who don't know, the 5 for 5 is a trivia question game. If you get 4 out of 5 questions correct, we will Venmo you $5 from our bank account to yours. Everyone's eligible.
5
honor system
fat smackers.
Just look to Nick for the payment. Now, first question
Dull
of the
hairs.
Week. How did Billy die? This is their friend. This is the trip they're taking about.
Yes.
He dies. He does all this cool stuff, and he lived a crazy cool life, and girls loved him, and. He
wiffle
dies.
Ball.
He also dies in a cool way. Oh, I didn't know if this is a wiffle. Maybe I should ask a different. I have a couple.
Let's get this over with.
Let's get this over with, Steven.
Is it parasurfing?
You're
Everest,
filibustering.
Running with the bulls or skydiving?
Again, should we answer at the same time?
Wait. Say it one more time, Steven.
All right. Parasurfing, Everest. I'm sorry. Parasurfing is one. Everest is one. Running with bulls or skydiving? All right, go ahead.
You know it.
I'm not as confident as I once was.
Okay, well, then you go first.
Damn. I want to say Everest.
Ooh, Nick.
The correct answer. And I could have sworn he said parasailing, but I guess it was parasurfing.
It was parasurfing. Did he say parasailing?
Damn it!
I thought he said a parasailing accident, but
God, I was between.
Because what's parasurfing? There's kite surfing, but I don't know if parasurfing. Is
That's
the thing.
What I searched parasurfing, and it said it was pretty much not. It wasn't. I guess it is kind of kite surfing.
It's kite surfing.
Okay.
It's
okay.
The same kite.
Yeah, maybe
it's kiteboarding.
Maybe that's what I. Maybe I heard parasailing.
But because when
yeah,
I did some research
cool.
into it, it was comparing kite surfing to windsurfing, and it wasn't really talking about parasurfing. Mm-hmm. It may have been we'll have to double check that.
No,
I
think you're right.
I just googled it, and it looks legit. I think kite surfing is just when you're on the surfboard that has like the little kite or no. That would just be wind. What is that called? When you just have the board and you're holding on to it and it's like a little.
It's parasurfing.
Oh, it might have been that with the when you stand up on the board and that thing is on it. That might be it.
Yeah, it's like surfing. It's like surfing, but I don't know. We're kooks over here.
We're getting off track, but let's get back.
I mean, this is it, guys.
Oh wait, Trent is
it's a form of kiteboarding.
No, I know. Yeah, that's what I was looking at. But there is, like Nick was talking about, something similar with another kind of board. But let's move on.
Go ahead with Q2.
All right, anyways, Q2. We could start another parasurfing podcast, but we should probably go on Q2.
I mean, are we sure? Okay, let's do it. Who leads the intro on the Fort Cooper Classic show? Remember, they have a little tape.
Wait, what?
They have their little tape that they all get on, and they all do their little radio show. You know, they record their little radio show. Kind of like we're doing right now, guys.
Right now. When was this?
When they were kids or grown-ups?
Yeah,
when they were kids, they made a little tape. Yeah. They found it, and then they put it on in the car when they're listening to it, and they're listening back to themselves, recording themselves.
Mm-hmm. I remember seeing
it. Nick is a scrub and did not watch this part of the movie. All the better for Trent. All right, so they all have these little names, and there's someone that's like introducing someone, you know, like we kind of do it in our intros. Whoever's hosting introduces. So this person is essentially hosting. Is it Jazzy Jerry, Gonzo Tommy, Disco Dan, or Rockin' Billy Newwood?
Nick,
can you specify who says? Can you specify who says this? Like, who is it referring to?
No. All these names are said during this little broadcast of their radio show, but one of these guys is introducing all of them. He introduces himself and then he introduces the rest of them. And these are the names that are mentioned. It's Jazzy Jerry, Gonzo Tommy, Disco Dan, or Rockin' Billy Newwood.
Nick.
Oh my God!
Nick doesn't
even remember
the scene, much less
C. What was it? Jazzy Dan? Dazzy Jan?
You want to do Dazzy Jazzy Dan? Jerry, or you want to do Disco Dan?
Oh, Disco Dan!
All right, you're going Disco
Dan. Disco
Dan,
lock me in.
All right.
Yeah, I love that alliteration.
I'm gonna go Gonzo, the Gonzo one.
All right, it is actually
also
Rockin'
Disco
Billy
Dan would be
Newwood.
A sick band name.
Rockin' Billy Newwood. I need one to like knock you guys off your pedestal after that bullshit first one. All right, this is maybe another wiffle ball, but I just wanted some more interesting ones. I have some backup questions, but I wanted some more interesting questions.
That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Let me hear it.
Actually, fuck it. I'm gonna ask this harder one. What rookie card does Jerry have in the treasure chest, right? There's a treasure chest, and they all put their most prized possession in there. What rookie card does he have? Is it Bo Jackson, Brian Bosworth, Barry Sanders, or Deion Sanders?
Do they say it, or is it just shown?
No, they say it.
One more time on those.
Is it Bo Jackson, Brian Bosworth, Barry Sanders, or Deion Sanders?
Steven whipping up some football players I know he doesn't know about. Because he doesn't watch football. I'm going Bo Jackson. I think it was Bo Jackson.
NJ?
That was my gut as well, but these Jackson ones, I think he's trying to fuck us up with these two Jackson ones.
You mean Sanders?
No,
there's two Sanders.
Sanders.
Barry Sanders and Deion Sanders.
So that seems like a Nick Jones move type of decoy. I'm going Bo Jackson as well. Bo Jackson was my gut, so I'm going that too.
Boys, it was actually Brian the Boz Bosworth.
Oh my gosh.
I was going to ask another one, but I'm almost sure you guys...
Where'd you think of Bo Jackson?
I just Googled some other...
Where'd you think of the answers?
Other football players in that era.
Fuck.
Damn. This is a hard one.
All right, so let's see here. I'll save the best for last. But who runs faster without shoes? Okay. You guys remember this scene? The bear? One of them runs faster without shoes. Is it Jerry, Tom, or Dan? Also, who runs faster without shoes? I mean, come on.
I mean, I don't know.
Who takes their shoes off to run away from a bear in the woods? Like, you're fucking stupid.
I would think a Jerry would, so I'm going to go Jerry.
Which one's Dax?
Dax is Dan. I mean, I'm sorry, Dax is
Tom. Are
we
allowed to ask?
Yeah, you can ask.
Yeah, that seems like a Dax thing to do, so I'm going to go Tom.
Trent Miller, correct.
Yes. Got one, baby.
Damn it.
Yeah, I thought that
is
was Jerry, so funny that he's taking his
Jerry
shoes off.
Shaggy?
I'm like, who can? Yes, Shaggy. That is actually hilarious. I totally didn't even make that connection until you just said that right now.
That's all I see him from.
I think that's the only
from.
Other thing I've know him in, but I'll have to double check. All right, last question. I've got a couple extras okay. You guys can have, but this is a last banger question, all right?
Okay.
Let's see it.
What band sings Do You Really Want to Hurt Me? Is it Duran?
Do they say this?
Is it Duran Duran?
I think I caught it.
Is it? Yes, they do say it. It's either Duran Duran, yeah. Talking Heads, Culture Club, or New Order. Nick is trying to
strong
meditate
question.
It in right now.
Yeah, I know it.
Say all the right. Say the name of the song again, Steven.
Do you really want to hurt me?
Do you? And when do they sing this?
Do you really want to make me cry?
Yes,
we
really want to hurt you.
Wait, so is this in like the car ride, or when does this get brought up
so
in the scenes?
This,
oh man, it's like.
This gets brought up at the end when they're singing it in the hole, and then those guys walk up like Nick just said and said,
"Yeah, when he's in the
really
tunnel." But
hurt you?
Oh,
the first night they go camping, and they're camping on that that awesome beach near the river. He starts playing it, and they were like, "Wow, you listen to shitty music."
Yeah,
he's like, "I just like the song." Yeah.
All right, one more time.
There's one part where the big guy from Boy Meets World says it.
Okay.
When they have the guns, and
I love how you
for him,
recognize that too.
He's listening. They hear him singing that song, and he's like, "Oh, that's this band." Says it. So
say the bands one more time.
Duran Duran, Talking Heads, Culture Club, or New World, or I'm sorry, New Order.
Oh man.
I think I know it, or at least I'm down to two.
He's like, "The hills have gone gay." It's like, no, that's
my bad. My gut wants to go with Duran Duran, but it's probably another one of them. But I'm gonna go Duran Duran.
All right, it's either Culture Club or New Haven or New Order or whatever he said. But I'm pretty positive it's Culture. I'm pretty positive it's Culture Club.
Nick with the Culture Club. Very nice.
Ooh.
Nice,
very
Nick.
Nice. Did you pick that up or you just love
two for
new
five.
Wave, new wave music?
Well, I watched the I watched the last 30 minutes of it like right before we started the pod. So I had the subtitles on and I just caught it.
Oh, nice.
Damn.
God bless those subtitles.
No wonder.
Gotta have the subtitles.
I think that was
well
the
done,
last
Nick.
One.
Good
right?
job this week. Yeah, did you have a bonus though?
I did have a couple bonuses. A bonus? We could rock it through them. What was the name of the rock formation that they're looking for? Is that a wiffle ball? Or do you guys know that one?
No.
It was either.
Not necessarily. What is it?
It was either Grandma's Nose, Grandpa's Nose, or Grandma's Ear, or Grandpa's Ear. So grandma, grandpa, and nose or ear, which is it?
No, this was the Nick Jones question. I take that back what I said earlier.
I'm going to go grandpa's nose. No, I'm sorry, grandpa's ear. Too. I'm going to go grandpa's ear.
Nick?
I'm going to go grandpa's nose to be different. And also because Trent almost guessed it, so I feel like he was torn as well.
Trent, you should have went with your gut. It was grandpa's nose.
Yes! Yes!
I'm struggling.
I don't even care if I won the 5 for 5. Was that your last question?
No, I've got one more.
All right, well, I basically won.
Let's hear it.
It's what kind of tree do those girls live in?
Okay.
Is it a rosewood,
I know my trees.
Redwood, or sequoia?
I know my trees, baby.
They're in Oregon, aren't they? I know what this is.
What is it, T. Millie?
It's got to be a redwood.
Fool. Nick?
Redwood.
It is a sequoia.
Is it really?
Redwood, totally redwood. You guys got it.
Okay.
Perfect.
That was a bonus question. I could fuck with you guys. Guys, great job this week. Hey, listen, you listening out there, if you guys won this week, just contact Nick Jones at his personal email, nrjones88@gmail.com. Hit him up.
Wow, don't do that.
That's
not his email.
You're gonna blow him up. The chat section is going wild.
I'm gonna have to delete that email.
Nick has to do he's gonna make a Yahoo version of the same one. Just email a bunch of different platforms under that alias. But boys, let's move on to Director in the Ass.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Welcome back. Director in the Ass, to where you get firsthand news on these directors and what their ass really looks like. This week, we're featuring, let's see here, what's this guy called? Steven Brill. Look at this guy's face. You can tell by this guy's face.
Yeah, but more importantly, look at this guy's ass.
Look at that ass, dude. He's in heavyweights.
Look at this guy's ass.
He did heavyweights.
He did do heavyweights, which also has Ben Stiller, which we have not done a Ben Stiller movie yet. We always send a Ben Stiller meme when one of us is going to shit on the other movie, i.e. tonight. Trent.
Have we really not done a Ben Stiller movie?
We haven't. We've never done a Ben Stiller. We got to do Zoolander or something.
Wow, I'm kind of surprised.
Wait,
by
didn't
that.
You guys do. Oh, no, I'm thinking of Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson. I always associate Owen Wilson with Ben Stiller, so whenever I think of Wedding Crashers, I think Ben Stiller's in that.
Oh, no,
but
you know what?
In?
We did do one. We did Starsky and Hutch.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we actually, okay, we did. I did forget about that. Okay, so we do have at least one Ben Stiller. I stand corrected, but we only have one. But, yeah, Heavyweights, he's a funny – you know, I the last time I watched Heavyweights, I totally forgot Ben Stiller's in it. And he comes in and he plays the exact same character as he plays in the Globo Gym movie, Dodgeball.
Yeah. Yeah, this he director also the, seems like he's a big – I was going to say this guy seems like he's a big Adam Sandler guy because he did director – or he directed Little Nicky, Mr. Deeds – and then he did Hubie Halloween.
Oh, he did Mr. Deeds, huh? I like that.
He's done four Adam Sandler movies. That's he also did a.
Oh, he did Joe Dirt.
Yeah, Joe Dirt.
Wait,
are you,
he didn't.
Are you sure?
He did. He was in. Wait a second. Oh, these
Where
are his actor
Joe Dirt?
Credits. He's
oh yeah.
He was he was a cop at a crime scene, and then in Mr. Deeds he was a violin player. So these are his actor credits. Let's go to his director credits specifically.
He definitely looks familiar.
So yeah, he did Mr. Deeds. Okay, cool. Without a Paddle was the very next year, 2 years later. Without a Paddle,
his first movie
first,
was
Heavyweights. Was his first movie?
Yeah,
that's sick.
That's awesome. Iconic
and then,
movie.
Yeah, the do-over, Walk of Shame. No, but I like Mr. Deeds a lot. Trent, you like that movie, right?
Yeah, I do. It's not like on my Mount Rushmore for Adam Sandler, but I do fuck with that movie.
Yeah, I like I really do like Mr. Deeds, and it's not like his best movie, but it's such a it's a really good movie for itself. And then Without a Paddle obviously knocked it out, and Heavyweights was an OG. That's actually really cool that that was his first movie. Maybe yeah, we're a little Steven biased, but let's move on. Do you guys want to talk about? We can go into Dax.
Let's do Dax.
Dax Shepard.
Let's talk Let's talk about Dax. He's an interesting cat. This guy.
So this is just an interesting guy to us in general because we all started getting into this pod recently, and Rachel got me into it within like the last year, I would say, and she said like you should check out his podcast. He just interviews really good people. And I listened to a few of them. I was like, I don't know if I'm going to get into this, but he has really good guests, a lot of people in the film industry, but he also has just like other unrelated people, you know, just, you know, musicians, or he had, what's his name?
Dave Grohl.
R&B artist.
Oh, no.
No, the guy who sings, God, it's going to bother me. Leon Bridges. He had Leon Bridges on. He's had some other people, but his interviews are really
Leon
good,
Bridges
dude.
Episode, and he's had Seth Rogen on a couple of different times. He had Quentin Tarantino on, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah, he did. It was right and around the same time Quint went on Joe Rogan too.
So he's Yul Perkins in Hit and Run. He plays in Idiocracy as Fredo. He plays an Employee of the Month as Vince. You guys saw that movie?
I love that. Yeah, his character in that.
Oh, that's a funny
movie.
This
is an 81 Honda.
How dare you?
How dare you? Such a good.
That's probably Dane Cook's best movie, I would say.
Yeah.
Well, it's like one of Dane Cook's only movies, right? How many movies?
Well, he's in Waiting too.
Yeah, Steven.
Oh, but you know what? He had such a small role in Waiting. I was disappointed. I was like, they should have utilized Dane Cook. And the small footage you do see of Dane Cook in that movie is just Dane Cook being himself. And
Steven,
just
have you seen Hit and Run? I've brought it up to you before, and it's totally up your alley.
I have not, but funny. you were talking about this.
Yeah.
Being his number one. Oh, my God. This is with him and
his lady,
Kristen Bell.
Wait,
his current wife.
Yeah, his wife and Bradley Cooper.
Which movie?
Hit and Run.
Hit and Run. He plays in with Kristen Bell. I did not realize they met in this.
Yeah, Steven, you need to.
I thought you said, "Have you ever seen Dane Cook run?" And I was like, "Oh my god, it's so funny because he does this really exaggerated, like goofy." Anyways, all right,
oh god,
Hit and Run.
Dude, yes, I've seen that.
Yeah, movie. Kristen Bell, his wife.
Trent,
Bradley
have
Cooper.
You seen this? Have you seen Hit and Run? What
yeah,
is this
I have, and it's you
Bradley
need to,
Cooper.
You need to watch it, Steven. This is like your movie.
Is it pretty good?
Yeah, it's pretty good. I would just recommend it just to like throw on a movie. Like it's pretty quick and easy and fun movie to watch.
I might watch it tonight.
Yeah, you should, Steven.
No, I'll definitely check it out. That looks cool. I know he's a big car guy. Dax Shepard's a big car guy, and like he was in Chips. I don't know if you guys saw that. He's like a motorcycle cop with this other guy, and I think a lot of that stuff he does himself on the bike.
That's cool. No, I haven't seen that.
But yeah, he talks about Idiocracy a lot too.
Oh, I saw that.
I haven't
that
seen
movie.
That movie.
I saw it, and it is not good because I remember seeing the listening to that Armchair Expert, and he brings it up, and it gets brought up quite often because it's a pretty mainstream movie, actually, really well known. But I tried to watch it and I was like, this is awful. And I would highly highly suggest you guys try to watch it so that it's not just me, because I think you guys will agree with me.
Quite the sell.
You guys will agree with me.
It was awful. I would highly recommend you guys should watch it.
Well,
so
I would just want to hear what other people think, because I've heard it like renowned,
right.
But I personally thought it was really dumb, like really too stupid to watch.
Okay. Well, we'll try not to spoil any other movies on here.
Oh, yeah, sorry about that.
Sometimes do that, but I do it all the time.
No, listen
you guys,
millions and millions and millions of people every day depend on our reviews of these movies.
Our hard work.
You're right.
Trent gives that review so that someone doesn't have to waste the valuable time of watching Idiocracy.
No, you're right.
Could be great, could be not, depending on your scale for Trent Miller. Listen to past episodes if you want to get a better gauge. You know, we don't know.
He's personally got a really good taste, so I would go off of what he says. But
I would go there. So he does a lot of stuff on Robot Chicken from 2005 to now. Seth Green is he runs Robot Chicken. Seth Green,
does he?
Let's talk about him.
He runs it.
So he runs it.
Yeah, he does.
Now, what's interesting about this show, Robot Chicken, is it's like a still shot, I think, frame by frame kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Interesting.
I think they make real things and then they take pictures of a like shot by shot. I don't exactly know. I never really got into it. It's a unique. Let's look into it.
Yeah, it's always been
like different little bits. It's like they write little bits. It says pop culture references fly thick and fast as stop motion animation is featured in sketches lampooning everything from television movies to comic books. So it's like a skit show and they use stop motion animation is what it's called.
And I mean, it's successful. It's been around from 2005 to 2021, and we've all heard of it obviously, but I don't think any of us watch it. It's like an underground like Adult Swim show, I think.
It is, but it's one of those like niche things where I feel like it's got, I mean, to go on for that many seasons, I mean, you definitely got like something that's worth, that people are watching and looking to.
Yeah,
but it's also, Dax Shepard mentions at one point, he's like, he's like, at the time when you were getting into this, like, it was kind of your niche was this, this stop motion thing. And like, no one really knew if it was going to do anything, but it ended up being really successful. And it's because it's like a niche, you know?
You know what it kind of reminds me of is the, that Aqua Teen Hunger Force. You guys remember that show?
Yeah.
With the meatball.
I know what you're talking about with the
meatball. I didn't watch it too much.
It's just the Adult Swim. And I know it's not like probably a different shot differently. But that's cool that Seth Green did that.
Yeah.
I didn't realize.
I also wanted to say that I always think of Seth Green from Austin Powers.
Yeah, of course.
Yes, I don't know if you guys have seen him in it.
He's Dr. Evil's son, teenage son that's like in his
Scott
room listening
Evil,
to the death metal music.
Yes.
Yeah, he's like pissed he doesn't have like a real dad and he's got like major daddy issues.
Yeah.
But I always think of him in that. And then I guess he was in The Italian Job as well.
Oh, yeah, he's in The Italian Job.
And
as like the
computer X-Files
guy.
I saw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like the tech engineer guy.
So he's he's in The Italian Job as Lyle. Yeah, he's Scott Evil in Austin Powers, and he plays in Party Monster as James.
Oh, and we have to say he's Chris Griffin from Family Guy.
Yes.
Oh, right. Yes. So I think he's done stuff with Family Guy for years too. So this guy has obviously had a really successful career. He's done, I guess he's on Guardians of the Galaxy too. He's Howard the Duck. He's the voice of Howard the Duck. So he's definitely had a very successful career, and you know this movie is just another one to add.
Oh, he's
to
in
it, but,
Can't Hardly Wait. Have you guys seen that like '90s movie? It's like that's what I first saw him in. That movie has Jennifer Love Hewitt and some like older famous people.
I haven't seen that.
It, never heard of it.
I got a trivia question for you guys.
Okay.
How tall do you think Seth Green is?
I would say 5'8".
Steven?
I never like to speak on another man's height, but
when I do.
If I was gonna guess, yeah, I might go like, I guess like, yeah, maybe 5'9".
Taller than Tom Cruise?
What?
Is it taller than...
You guys think that man is almost 5'9" compared to Dax Shepard and this other guy? He's 5'4".
Wow, he's shorter than Tom Cruise.
He's a short guy. He's a short guy.
Yeah, not I'm not saying that's a bad thing. And
now Dax Shepard is also a really tall guy. How tall is Dax?
I was just curious, so I had looked it up. But
well, since we're on it...
Because...
Dax is 6'2".
Dax is 6'2".
Okay, well that's not.
So that'd be like that would be like Trent's or me standing next to him, you know, or Trent's even. What are you, 6'3" or something? Yeah, I'm like 6'1.5", so that'd be like me standing next to him.
Oh, well, yeah,
he looked really like short, 6'1", dude. Compared to them,
he's right with me, but I feel like he's definitely, you know, when you have a really tall guy next to that. But I guess 5'4" is pretty short.
Okay, let's see. How about we talk about the third guy who obviously all three of us probably think is number three of our favorites.
Matthew Lillard.
Scooby.
Or is it Lillard?
Is it Shaggy, Lillard? I mean.
So this is Shaggy, right? From Scooby-Doo?
Uh-huh.
Yes, he's Shaggy from Scooby-Doo. Interesting. There's also a Scooby-Doo 2. He's in The Descendants. He plays Brian Spear. And SLC Punk, he's Steve-O.
He's got a lot of credits.
148 credits, but how do I not know this guy from anything but that? Let me see if
there's something else I remember him from too.
Is it Blow Me, Nick?
Yeah, Nick, is it?
Surprisingly, it's not.
Where is it?
Is it the Pool Boys?
The Pool Boys. Where are you coming up with gold?
Yeah, what is this? Does this guy do porn?
Nick, is it the Deep Dark Canyon?
I can't find it, but there's been a. I feel like there was a horror. Scream. He's in Scream, dude.
Oh,
that's what it is.
Is that what it is? Okay. Scream.
Yeah, he's in Scream.
Which one? The first?
And the original one, and he actually plays like a.
Oh, he is. A
decent character in that.
Stuart from Scream. Yeah, which one is Stuart? I just saw that last Halloween, actually, for the first time.
He's got a really small
role. I'm going to have to watch that.
Oh, wait, no, this isn't.
It's not that small. I'm going to have to watch that. I remember him. I remember him in this.
He's in Scream 4, too.
Okay.
He's also in Fat Kids Rule the World.
Steven, can you speak
on
that?
And then.
All right, listen. We got to move on because this guy's not in anything. We got to figure out.
What do you mean, dude? He's in Fat Dude Thrill the World.
Let's move on to someone. Either someone else or we might be done.
No, hold on a second.
Let's do the Boy Meets World guy.
Yeah.
No, hold on a second. Wasn't I thought I read that there was some really, really big old school actor that was in I guess I'm not seeing it here.
Where's the Boy
The
Meets
old school
World
actor
guy?
That was in that Dukes of Hazzard movie. What was it called? Smokey and the Bandit. I thought that actor
you
was in
You love this
somewhere.
Movie.
Oh, you know who's in this movie? Is Burt Reynolds.
That's who it is. Yes, Burt Reynolds. That's what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Where he's not even coming up. Where is he on the IMDb? He's not even
You have to go to the extended cast.
God.
Yeah, let's do him because the Boy Meets World actor isn't coming up, so let's just do him.
I found him.
So Burt
Reynolds,
he played
He played the old guy,
the old Dale Knox guy. So I never realized that was Burt Reynolds because he's got all the hair in his face. You can really disguise someone if you have a bunch of hair and a bunch of beard. You could really disguise yourself.
So yeah, he's in that Smoking the Bandit that Steven references. He's in Boogie Nights, which I saw recently and underwhelming, I will say. Striptease and then Deliverance.
I never saw Boogie Nights, but Trent, have you seen
You know what's
have
funny,
you seen Smoking the
real
Bandit?
Quick?
No, I haven't seen it. I want to from your recommendation. What?
Go ahead, Steven. I was just gonna say I noticed Burt Reynolds, like all Dax, all these guys have appeared at Robot Chicken at some point.
Oh,
and it was written by Seth.
Oh,
Seth Rogen. Maybe they just do an episode or no, not all. But yeah, he's in The Dukes of Hazzard, The Longest Yard too, which is a decent movie.
Good movie.
That's right. Yeah, good call on that one, Nick. Yeah, so
But
he's a classic. He's a really, a lot of his stuff was before our time, but even this movie proves that even in his older age, and like, I think he's passed since, right? Yeah, he died 2018, September 6th. But he was on a couple of last Fast and Loud episodes and everything. That's a show where they like restore cars and they sell them and make money and all that kind of stuff. They restored one of those cars from that movie, Smokey and the Bandit, and they had him sign a couple things. And I remember seeing him at the time. He was like, had a walker, and he was like getting old. He was really, really old, pretty much like not even really doing that much work. But yeah, it's crazy to think that these were, I guess his last film was Defining Moments. He played Chester in 2021.
So I found the Boy Meets World guy. It's Ethan Suplee. Oh, he's in Remember the Titans. How dare you guys just call him the Boy Meets World guy.
Remember the Titans. He's a good actor in that movie.
And actually, I saw a podcast that he was on, and I can't remember whose it was, but actually,
he was on Joe Rogan.
Yeah, he was on Joe Rogan.
He's gotten really in shape.
It was really cool. Yeah, it was a really good podcast, actually. I enjoyed that one.
He's on that show, The Ranch, too.
Let's see. Wolf of Wall Street. He was Toby Welch.
He was on Wolf of Wall Street. I'm so glad this guy's had a successful career. Just seeing him young in Boy Meets World, like, I think I had a soft spot for him. But he's a good actor. And like you said, you know, Remember the Titans, all these good plays in John Q, Mallrats.
Oh, Chasing dude, he's Tuna in Blow with Johnny Depp.
Yes, probably his best role. Well done, Nick. We got to get that on. If Johnny Depp didn't have so many fucking allegations against him, like, Jesus, we could enjoy that movie.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you on that one. I'm glad we got him in, some credit on him. There was another actress I wanted to talk about, like the flower, the girls in the tree, because they're actually pretty famous.
You mean butterfly or flower? Which one do you want to talk about?
Yeah, I was talking about flower because I recognized her.
Oh, you mean Rachel Blanchard?
Rachel Blanchard. Pull her up because she's
Rachel Blanchard. She was in Fargo. She plays Kitty. Peep Show. She plays Nancy. Flight of the Conchords. She plays Sally.
Oh, that's... Yeah, I know Flight of the Conchords.
And Where the Truth Lies, she plays Maureen.
Where do I recognize her from? I feel like there's something else.
Trent, let me
maybe
look.
It's,
I'm going
to
tell
maybe
you.
Maybe it's Seventh Heaven.
From.
I used to watch Seventh Heaven back in the day.
She's in a Road Trip, Trent.
Oh, is she?
She played Tiffany in the Road Trip.
Oh, that's got to be it. Yes. Thank you, Nick. Yeah, Road Trip.
Yes. Was she like with the girlfriend or something?
She was. She was the girlfriend who the guy was going from to see. He was going from college
right.
on the road
trip. Oh right. Okay. Hmm.
That's a funny movie.
Nothing I know her from personally besides that movie.
Shall we?
I think we shall
segue to stretch our legs. Let's park the segways and let's hop off and let's take a walk around the park.
All right,
let's land this plane.
Let's do it.
Favorite scenes from the magazines.
And everything in between, y'all. All right, let's do it. Let's get into this. Who wants to start?
Steven kicked it. He picked it.
Well, listen, I picked it. I'm going to tell you one of my favorite scenes.
Okay.
Was that fishing scene that just reminded me of Nick and his dad, that fishing scene where they're both out there. They're throwing dynamite in the water, and it's blowing the fish up. And, you know, Nick's over there, and his dad's over there. Nick's throwing dynamite. His dad's throwing dynamite. The fish are coming up to the top.
Was that his dad?
I thought that it was so funny because they're out there doing, they're like, you know, there's that one scene where Dax Shepard, like, shines the light in the water and actually – like pulls salmon out of the water or whatever.
And then
you just see these two fucking guys running this weed farm that are just dynamite fishing and throwing the dynamite in the water and all this fish are coming up. I'm like, God, what are these people doing? That is a legitimate thing. People do that.
Dude, I just had a hilarious thought of like, and like me and my dad waking up every morning, just brisk morning, just loading up the dynamite in the back of our cars, just going fishing, just like, what a great day to be fishing, you know. It's like, doesn't have the same effect.
You should text your dad a link to some like dynamite form and be like, or some dynamite information and be like, check out this new fishing gear that I think you should get involved with.
Just no, but I did
read up on it and let me know what you think.
I did love that scene though where he's doing the figure eight or whatever, and he throws in the fish and he drops it and he's just like, okay, well now I got to switch it up, like. Now they've gotten accustomed to the figure eight. I gotta switch up my strategy. Or what does he say?
He's like, you owe me $100,000 and a left nut.
Yeah.
And I love that first camp night too. That first camp night is one of the best because they obviously go to the funeral. They go up to the, and they discover the this chest of what they have to do. And that first camp night, they're just chilling with the boys. They have all their stuff. They haven't gotten completely fucked just yet. They've got all their stuff. They're comfortable. They've got their food. He's got his jelly packs. And, you know, we've all backpacked together. We love it. If you guys haven't ever backpacked, it's one of the coolest things you can ever do, especially with really close friends. And, you know, that's essentially what they were doing, but on a canoe, which is even cooler.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, I'm surprised they were able to do some of those rapids with that damn canoe.
Oh, and we'll get to that. I mean, suspension of disbelief, 100%. Like, I've seen people flip a canoe going down way less than that. I 100% think they would have they would have topsided a lot sooner. But no, I've actually always wanted to do that because, you know, I have like a little 3-person kayak, and if I really wanted to, because I think it supports like over 600 pounds, like I could really load it up with like my camping gear and take it down the river like that if I wanted to. And I've talked to some people, like rafting is really big out here. And some people have like really big boats that can fit, like rafting boats that can fit, you know, 4 or 5 people on them. And they'll just load it up with all their camping gear and just like hop island to island, like over a few days. Like they'll go out into like Utah and do it in these big canyons and stuff. But it sounds really fun just being able to like bring all your camp, like just float on the river all day and then like hop off, camp for the night, get back on the river. Like talk about, and
that
you guys
to me,
really need to see.
I love the sound of that. That sounds like a fun thing to do. I just would want to make sure it's like a, you know, a decent part of the river that's not going to get too crazy. Cause yeah, I mean, we've shot the hooch before, you know, shoot the hooch out here, and there's nothing like it out there, you know. You get on one of those rivers, and
there's like no white water at all on the hooch.
Right. and you guys, Trent, you really need to see, if you haven't already, that River Runner documentary I was talking about, because it gave me a new appreciation for kayaking as well, of just like, I don't know, I can see how people like get obsessed with rivers and like fall in love with them, you know. They're just like this like big, powerful like source of like life and energy, and it's like
they just seem so damn dangerous.
Yeah,
like, they look just, it's like it's Mother Nature, you know. You going up against that, it's like surfing kind of, but it almost feels more dangerous than if you were to go on some
of
those.
I've always
rapids.
Had this like romantic thought of setting a jet ski up to fish. And they do. There's guys that set jet skis up to fish. But what's cool about a jet ski is you could take it in these like small rivers and these like little spots. And I've always thought it'd be cool to like take a lake to a river and then pull up to like some really small areas that, you know, normal boats couldn't get to. And even if you had to like kind of hopscotch your jet ski around, you could kind of get to some of these remote places.
Right.
But obviously a lot of rivers do not allow like motorized anything on them. But what's funny is there's so much water that a jet ski could go to that you could really, I mean, you could be like in LA, like in their systems and their water systems, like on a jet ski, if like you found the route to get there.
Right.
I really wanted to bring up, and I can't think of any right now, but I want to get y'all's take on it. But didn't you guys really like the soundtrack, actually?
Yes.
I remember listening
to all
the songs. So, and like, this is
really one of the biggest.
There's the one song that starts, it's called Faces, or it's by Faces, it's called Ooh La La. It's the...
Yes. Yeah.
I forget exactly how it went. It was one of, I think it was the first song that plays, though.
Wish I when I was older.
When I was younger, wish that I knew what I know. And then there was the Bubba Sparks Deliverance. The I've been traveling,
Yes, that song is so good.
Yes, I love that song. So I got, I've listened to that song ever since. And it's so funny. It's like Bubba Sparks, but it's such a good song. And it's like, when I first heard that song, watching this movie, it just took me to a different place. I was like, that song just takes you somewhere
else.
And
then they do, my mind's telling me no, but my body is telling me.
And they're all, that
bump and
so
grind.
Funny. Yeah,
that's a good song too. But they had a lot of I was just really impressed. Even the Road Trip songs, I can't remember them off the top of my head, but they had, I think they had Black Betty. And then they had some Beach Boys song. There's just a couple here that are, I thought were really good.
He starts rapping Dre at one point.
Snoop Dogg. Yeah, Snoop Dogg, Nothing But a G Thing.
Yeah. I really like that blind
Liverpool Doctors.
That Blind Melon No Rain song. Do you guys know that song?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Another one of my favorite songs.
What is that song? I don't know.
It's like, all I can say is my life is pretty plain. I like watching the puddles gathering. Yeah.
Most of my favorite scenes came from.
And that was a part of it. Like, not only was it a cool trip, but you had a good soundtrack. What were you saying, Trent?
Most of the favorite scenes I had were from Dax's quotes, and he just had so many like funny lines. One of these was, he's like, "I'm not an astronaut. I'm an American."
Yeah.
And then he says, he's like, "Were you a Boy Scout?" And he's like, "No, but I ate a brownie once."
He's like, yeah, "Listen here, I could read a river better than you could read a book."
Also, is his Corvette tattoo real? But that's on his back, or is that a fake tattoo?
He's a car guy. I don't know.
I hope not.
It is so Thule-y.
It is so. It's like a fraternity tattoo.
I'm a big car guy now. I'm a big car guy. I don't have any tattoos whatsoever, but, you know, I don't know. If I had a bunch of tattoos, I probably would have some car tattoos, I'd imagine. I'd imagine I put some Toyota or some Lexus tattoos somewhere on my body, but ultimately, I think, it might have just been, because he was like a Harley guy in the movie, too, and he rides bikes and everything, you know. I don't know. It might have to be something.
He's definitely got tattoos on him. He has a lot of tattoos, but I don't think he has the Corvette one, although I might be mistaken.
Who knows? Someone asked Kristen Bell.
We need to confirm that.
Yeah, we do need to figure that out. Well, that's the chat section.
Yeah, there's that one scene where you find out that he was detained in Mexico because he was a coyote for the border. Just like lives this like weird back life, and he's like a weird liar. He like lies about everything, and they're like, "Dude, we know you're like lying to us."
Yeah,
I also like the ending where the kid asks, "What's a downstairs?"
Yeah, that was so weird.
I feel like
made off of the money.
The most recognizable scene from this movie, the one that I remember the most, like, because I had seen it growing up, is obviously like the spooning in the cave scene where they have to spoon for warmth.
Yeah,
I feel like that's just a classic.
Yeah, Nick would remember the bump and grind.
Yeah, I used to think about that often in my dreams.
But I think they advertise that scene in the trailers, so I would remember it too.
No, I was infatuated.
I did watch
with
this.
It. Like I watched.
I thought
it
was weird because he's like his buddy is just like whispering this stuff in his ear. about these girls and like saying all this stuff. I was like, dude. And obviously he was doing it he was like joking and doing it on purpose. And you could tell through the whole time he was like always trying to kind of joke in certain situations where like they're not trying to like hear a joke right now.
Yeah. I will say, go ahead, Trent.
I was just going to say, we never said how Dax Shepard got his start, and it was from Punk'd.
Oh, right. Yeah.
You know what's funny is they punked Seth Green early.
Yeah, I saw that one too. That was a funny episode.
And apparently he was, they were talking about that one on the armchair. Well, he apparently was like one of the hardest ones they've ever had to punk because he gets, so they're trying to have this charity gambling thing, like you gamble for charity kind of thing that Ashton Kutcher is putting on. And so Ashton Kutcher is also a part of Punk'd, the main guy behind Punk'd. And they're trying to get him, and he comes in and he's like, man, this place is dead. Like, you're not going to raise any money over here. He's like, two, let's turn these lights down. Like, let's get the lights down. And so he's like walking around, like looking for the light switch. He's like trying to like help out the situation and get the vibe better and everything. But they're filming, so they have to have like the lights on for filming and everything. And he's like, and he's like following wires. There's like a bunch of wires around, and he's following the wires and trying to figure out where these wires are going. It was like the worst perp for them. And then at one point, Ashton Kutcher's like, hey man, like, do you want to gamble over here? He's like, no, I don't gamble. He's like, well, I'll stake you. And he's like, all right, let's go over here. And then like something happens and he's like, all right, well, like, you owe $1,500. And he's like, Ashton Kutcher turns to him. He's like, are you good for it? And he's like, oh, I thought you were staking me. He's like, well, yeah, until the end of the game. he's like, I thought for a second. So apparently Seth Green was like trying to get, he was doing that 70s show stuff with, cause he was on that 70s show. We didn't even bring that up. He was on that 70s show with, all those guys. So apparently he would go hang out with them after they filmed, and he was trying, he had like not like gotten on, Ashton Kutcher's like good side yet. Like, he still wanted to like get in good with Ashton Kutcher. So he said, in that moment, I was like really like tallying up like how much I would have to spend to like get on this guy's good side. And he's like, so he was like, yes. He's like, and apparently he's a really frugal guy anyways. And like Dax Shepard said, when he first saw him, he was like driving a Honda Civic. And he's like, man, this is like an established actor that's just driving a Civic. And it's because he's like really frugal with his money. But we can get back on the favorite scenes after that little tangent.
And no, that was perfect. I wanted to hear all that because that jogged my memory. But what were you saying, Nick?
No, I think I had kind of wrapped up what I was talking about. But I didn't really have like a – there wasn't one scene that really stood out to me as like my favorite. But just all in all, I just like the vibe of them like first getting down to the river and the scenery and just them kind of camp. The camp, probably them camping the first night. They were on this like secluded island on the river, and they were just like listening to music and like drinking. And it was just like three buddies like on the river, just like having a blast. And like, who couldn't relate to that? Or want to be in that place.
You remember the bear scene? There was a bear scene.
Mm-hmm.
Bart the bear.
Are you really going to talk about the bear right now?
100-pound motherfucker. Yeah, we're going to talk about the bear real quick.
Does he have an IMDb?
There's a bear scene right there. Yeah, he does. He actually has an IMDb at the. He's actually on the first page. If you just
let me guess, he was a grizzly bear
at the very bottom. He's called Bart the Bear at the bottom of the first page. It says he is an 8.5 foot tall, 1,100-pound Alaskan brown bear. I think she did a, you know how the armchair expert has like a fact check.
Yeah.
At the end of that it, girl. Like they, she goes through and she like fact check. She did a fact check that he was, Dax Shepard had described him as like 1400 pounds. And she described him as, she said there was a fact check. And I think it was like 1700 pounds is what she said. But it's saying here on the IMDb that he's only 1,100 pounds. Regardless,
but honestly, could you, plus could either of us,
bear.
could either of us, any of us, like, guesstimate how much that bear weighed? Like, if you were to tell me that was an 1,100-pound bear versus a 1,700-pound bear, I would believe either one of those. So I could see why they
hold the fuck up. This is the same bear that was in Into the Wild.
Into the Wild. Really?
Dude, same bear as Into the Wild. Also, the same bear played in Scrubs. He played in CSI. He played in Dr. Dolittle 2.
I was going to ask
him. He played in Game of Thrones. This motherfucker was in Game of Thrones. This guy has a better IMDb record than a lot of these other guys.
This guy has a penthouse on Sunset Boulevard in Hollywood.
Dude, he's just 2016. This guy bought a house. Keith Dragon.
He bought a house next to Leo, and he throws bigger fucking ragers than anybody in Hollywood.
Wait a second. So I actually have a story about this bear. So apparently, and this is from the podcast, apparently this bear was like fucking huge, and there was this one point where like the wrangler was like, there was a big trailer where this bear was, and this trailer was like thrashing around. This fucking bear was mad. And so the wrangler goes in there, and you just hear him. He's like, "Oh, Bart, like, stop, Bart." And, like, he's in there, like, getting tossed around in the trailer. Then all of a sudden, the trailer just stops, and he's like, "Good, Bart, good, Bart." And apparently, it was just, like, you didn't know, they didn't know what was going on inside this fucking, like, this trailer that was just being thrashed around by this huge bear. But, like, this wrangler would straight up go in there and, like, calm this bear down. And this guy,
so,
I'm
Steven,
sure, made
I found
a
the,
good living.
I found the original Bart the bear, because he's the second Bart. And there's an original who, if we really want to go in, has his own movie credits.
Let's move on from the bear.
Wait a second.
His own house on Sunset.
We could spend 20 minutes talking about
and
this
he
bear.
He is actually 9'7". And he,
I could have sworn he was 9'6". Damn.
Kodiak bear.
Wait, do you know how much that one weighs?
400 pounds more.
Wow.
So he is
1,100, 1,500.
Nick, shut the fuck up. We're deep on this bear.
We're going balls
Nick,
deep.
We're talking about
all the
board with the
measurements of all these fucking bears. Like, it's the most important thing about the movie. I could have sworn he was 1,200
Bart
pounds.
Bart the bear was
Could
born
you guys believe he was 1,500
January
pounds?
20th. This bear was born in 2000, which means
it was
he's
a
only
big
21
bear.
Years old.
It was a really big bear.
He's in the prime
bear.
Of his life right now, this bear. He's probably hitting
he
the
He had
bar,
an illustrious career.
Got a lot
I get
of good
it.
Credits.
He was a really big dead, bear. Guys. He was really tall.
I don't think they
And he threw
that.
Ragers in Hollywood. All right, check. On to the next one. The other thing I was going to say that like kind of cracked me up was that scene when they're about to set off on the river, and he like cracks his beer bottle right in the river right there. And the guy's just like,
"Oh yeah."
He's like, "Thanks. That's where my
that's
kids
where my
play.
Son plays."
But you got to understand, that was like pretty fucking disrespectful to do.
For sure.
I mean, like, dude, none of us have ever cracked any kind of glass over any kind of river for like what to like, I guess that was like what they did back in the olden days to like christen a new spot. But dude, that's clearly an entry point where they put you off on a kayak and you're just going to crack a beer.
Yeah, that was obviously rude. All right, guys. I think we nailed it, especially with that bear stuff.
I mean, we can get back in the bear for a little bit because you didn't even mention the original Bears IMDb.
So why don't we hit the review section, guys?
Steve-O?
You're right. Bart the Bear gets typecast.
This gets an extra one star for the bear.
He gets
for
typecast.
He did
no,
a great
No, he's a typecast actor. Okay, let's move on.
He's a method actor.
All right, let's get in those reviews.
Steven, you pick it, you kick it.
I picked it. I shall kick it. This movie wasn't a crazy high rating movie for me, but I like it because it's a feel-good movie, hanging out with your boys, heading out on a cool trip. You know me, I like the road trip movies. I like the getting out there in the wild movies. This is backpacking on a canoe with your boys. It's just got good vibes. It's a funny movie. And I think overall what the movie, you know, a good soundtrack, good acting, and I don't think anyone in particular necessarily blew me away as an actor, but for what the movie was, they covered all the bases, in my opinion. All in all, I think I'm teetering. I haven't even really decided yet. I'm deciding right now as we speak, real okay. time. I think I'm going to go 3.5. But it's a okay. high 3.5. I'm considering teetering on 4, but I think overall it's a great movie, but it's just four, I get into these movies. I don't watch this one as much as I would like, you know, as much as I normally would.
Yeah.
It's probably every couple years on this one for me.
Yeah. And that's a very good barometer for Steven on how high he ranks his movies.
Yeah. How often?
Trent, may I have the stance?
Frequency.
Well said.
Yeah. Do you want to go on the dance floor? Or are you asking me to join you?
I'd like you to. We can't dance at the same time, unfortunately, but I would like to have this dance with the pod, if that's all right with you.
Oh, with the audience?
Yeah, so are you saying yes?
Bench watching. I'll grab some bench.
All right, grab some bench, dude. Keep it warm for me. All right, so. Okay, so. I was initially like excited to do the movie last week when you announced it, because I hadn't seen it since like a young lad, and I remember it having some moments, you know. And I will give it that the movie did have some moments for me. There was some good humor at times. I thought some of it was kind of cheesy. Some of the writing, some of the comedy. I'm going higher just for like what Steven said alone, just like the rivers, like the best part of the movie for me was like the first half where they were kind of getting out on the river and it was like new and exciting, but then it kind of dragged out for me. Like once they met the like weed farmer guys, like I thought they were kind of funny, but I thought it was almost just like childish to me a little bit, like kind of childish humor. Like it wasn't really an R-rated movie, an R-rated comedy. I don't know. It felt like something I would laugh really hard at in like sixth grade, maybe. And I don't know. I feel like they could have developed the DB Cooper thing better. I feel like that was kind of just, it's similar. Steven, this is a very grind movie. It was like, no second guessing this like really spontaneous trip. We're going to sacrifice like our jobs to go on a treasure hunt, which in itself is like completely unrealistic, obviously. But I just feel like they didn't develop the treasure hunt thing very well. And it was just kind of just like, I don't know. I would have liked to see the movie take a different direction after they got lost in the woods. I don't really know exactly what, but I just didn't like the storyline too much after that. So I'm like teetering on a 2.5-3, but for like the river and like you said, kind of a mindless comedy you could watch. The acting's not going to blow you away. It's just kind of just like, yeah, I'm going to laugh at this, watch it every few years, like you said. I'll give it a 3.0.
Yeah, and I wanted to add on, because I do like what you said, because you're right. The first half of the movie, in my opinion, is like a 4-star movie. But right. The second half of the movie is like a 2.5, 3.0 star.
Like the
movie.
Sheriff. The sheriff and the weed, and then like the sheriff's behind it all, and then they like the whole grenade thing, and then the tree falls on the guys, and like that's how they get out. Like it felt very like cartoony.
And not even that. So
it felt very cartoony.
So obviously, all storylines have to have that, like everything is going great, then there's a problem, you got to solve it, and then that's it. Would they be able to do a cool movie, kind of like a Dazed and Confused, but even like with less of problems?
Yeah.
Like, what if you just shot a movie where there was no problems and everything was just awesome, and you just went out and had a sick
also,
trip and like fucking got wasted and like shit, cool
yes,
shit happened and everything
that's
was
the
sick.
Movie. That would have been the movie if there was a real like emotion behind the death of their friend. And that's the thing too, is like, Dax pulls up to the cemetery. Like, what are you doing, dude? You're dry. Like, I didn't find that. That was so cringy to me. It's like your best friend and you pull up like an asshole. Like none of that felt off. Like, even Rachel was saying, like, they don't really seem mad that they're or upset that their like best friend just died. They're just like immediately pivoting to this like road trip kind of thing. And I feel like the movie mm-hmm. would have been about mm-hmm. the best movie would have been like them really going through some shit on the river together to get over the loss of their best friend. And like really bonding and like developing the characters a lot more. I think that would have been the movie, but then it may have been more serious and not like a comedy. I don't know, but I feel like they still could have made it a comedy.
No, but it's just one of those things. It's like, I don't understand why there aren't movies that is like kind of just like a cool thing throughout. And there's no like big, you know, thing you have to overcome. I mean, I guess for like a storyline plot, but I do feel like there's that line that it's possible to just have really cool, fun things happening throughout the movie. And like you said, maybe with like the emotional side of like trying to get over that kind of thing and like overcome and like appreciate what you have sort of thing. And they could have gone a lot of different ways in that movie. And I do appreciate it because like you said, the first half of this movie is what does it for me. The second half is, you know, I could take it or leave it. And I feel like I would like to see like a different second half if possible.